The Constitutional Court told us this morning that the Speaker can, should she choose, nominate, that the vote on a motion of no confidence in the President can be done in secret. Not must be done in secret, but can be done in secret. Professor Richard Calland, a political analyst, joins us on the line now. Hello, Richard.
Good afternoon to you, John.
Two, I suppose, big political questions, one flowing from the other with subsets of smaller questions involved. Is she likely to opt for a secret ballot? And if she does, how might that or might that not impact the result of that vote?
Well, clearly now the ball is in her court, and the court, the Constitutional Court, has made it clear that in deference to separation of powers, this is within the province of the Parliament, and specifically the Speaker. They've said that, well, they've interpreted the rules to mean that she must decide. But they've made it clear that she can't do so for subjective or arbitrary reasons. She's got to do it on an objective basis, and she's got to do it mindful of her constitutional responsibilities and Parliament's duty to hold the executive to account, including through a no-confidence vote. So I think they've made it very, very clear that were she to decide against a secret ballot, that that decision could be reviewable. And I think if one reads between the lines of this judgment, that there would probably be quite strong grounds for reviewing it if she doesn't. So she's got a very tough decision to take, John. I don't know which way she'll go. And I think one of the problems, of course, yet again, is the conflict of interest that she has. She's the national chairperson of the ANC. And as your news bulletin just pointed out, yep, the president of the ANC, Jacob Zuma, made it clear in Parliament what his view of the matter is. So is she going to follow her leader, or is she going to do what's right according to the Constitution?
Here's my, it's not quite a conspiracy theory, but here's my theory, that she'll probably opt for a public vote that will be taken on review. And by the time this matter is ventilated in the courts and ruled upon, we'll be beyond the December electoral conference, and the decision of the court will essentially be moot, because either somebody will have taken over who will get rid of Jacob Zuma, recall him because he's no longer the president of the ANC. And as Gwede Mantashe reminded us a couple of weeks ago, it's easier to recall call somebody as president of the country who's no longer president of the ANC, or Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma will be in charge of the ANC, and Jacob Zuma will be happy to sail off into the sunset.
Well, I think what you've just painted as a scenario is an entirely plausible one, John. I have to say that I think that that's quite likely. I think it's less likely that she would order a secret ballot at this particular point. And, of course, the danger with that scenario is that if the matter was dealt with on an urgent basis, if, for example, the court was persuaded that the no-confidence vote, if another one is tabled, and presumably it will be in August when Parliament comes back from its recess, if she was to decide then no secret ballot, open ballot, and a party reviewed that and went to court with an application to review it on the grounds of irrationality, and persuaded the court that it was urgent, they might be compelled to say, yes, it is urgent, and then to review their decision quickly. So that's the one kind of caveat to your potential scenario.
And then the second part of that question, let's assume one way or another, as a result of a decision taken independently and impartially and rationally, she says, all right, we're confident that whether the vote is secret or open, the ANC caucus view will prevail and the motion will be defeated, or she's ordered to do so by a court following an urgent review, and we have a secret vote of no confidence in the president. How might it go?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question to answer, to be perfectly honest. And it depends who you talk to. I mean, I talked to ANC MPs in the last few months who have said two very different things. One of the group say, yes, this would be the decisive shift in the rules, that if it was secret, he would definitely go. There are others who say, well, actually, our tribal loyalties, to put it crudely, are such that we would not do so at the behest of a no-confidence vote brought by an opposition party. And then, of course, the third kind of factor in this is the one that flows, I think, from the scenario you painted a few moments ago, which is this. The sooner or the closer we get to December, the more likely it is that the ANC as a whole will say, well, look, what's the point? Let's just wait and deal with all of this in our national conference in December and then look to the future beyond that.
Richard, I know you're very interested in constitutional and public law as well as being a political analyst. Before we let you go, your sense of the wisdom and importance of today's judgment.
Well, I think it was very important that this was a judgment that would be acceptable and legitimate. And I think the lucidity of the judgment is commendable. It reads very clearly. The reasoning is I think, very sound. It's accessible. I think most people could pick this judgment up and understand what it says. And it's a far-reaching judgment. And so it's important that it is lucid and legitimate. So I think the court, yet again, deserves our commendation for that. One of the things about constitutional law that I know my students find problematic is that sometimes 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4, that sometimes there isn't just one right answer to a question. Indeed, I think there were probably at least 2 other outcomes to this that would have been equally reasonable and justifiable. But this one certainly was very justifiable, and certainly it was very carefully worded in terms of respecting separation of powers and putting the ball back in the court of the legitimate and democratically elected parliament and its speaker.
Thank you very much to political analyst and public law lecturer, Professor Richard Callan.